This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're speaking with Tess Peterson today. She is a Springfield area resident, and she has been out of state a time going to, what school did you go to?
Arizona State University.
And what'd you do in Tempe?
I was remote most of the time. I did remote schooling, but I did mass communications and business journalism, so I took a lot of sports journalism classes, investigative reporting, pretty much anything. It's really fun at ASU, actually, because you get to choose from classes from any college you want. You have to, of course, take your like requisites and your what you want to take. But I took classes like in the public service college. I took classes science-based a little bit. I had a super fun time just getting to meet people from all over the world and from Arizona too, of course. My majority of my classmates were West Coast based.
Most of that was done remotely?
Yes. I was there like during the spring breaks and things, and I would go visit my family that lives there, but I did all of my schooling online, yeah.
Did you enjoy the online experience?
I did. I really did, because it was COVID. I really enjoyed getting to meet people that were like living in New York City or Germany. And then I really enjoyed getting to meet like my professors like in a different kind of way, because I didn't have to like travel with them and I could just have more personal conversations with them on Zoom instead of in class, maybe asking questions. So it was a little different than like what I was used to at Lincoln Land, where I went to before. It was way more my speed, because I could get it done and do it on my own time and choose like when I wanted to finish.
That's one of the big upsides to online learning, is if you can time shift it, it becomes convenient for people who might be busy otherwise.
Yes, exactly. And they offer so many options on how you want to head on your program, if you want to add a minor, if you want to add a double major, how we want to do it. They're on the quarter system, so it was like a different shift in that way from Lincoln Land. It's so accessible to anyone. And in, I also was working at the Starbucks at the time, and they offered the free college program there. And it used to be at Starbucks where you could choose any school you want, but now they have exclusively through ASU. So I was going to move there and work at a Starbucks there and then go to school. But because of COVID, I was just like, I need to stay home and I'm not going to travel anyways. No one traveled. And I want to take care of my dog. I decided to stay home and finish it quicker. And
I think it's between ASU and Ohio State University. They have the highest on-campus population. During COVID would have been really tricky.
Yeah.
You started at Lincoln Land. I've talked to a lot of folks who are thinking about going to school and the cost of school. A lot of folks now are saying, you know, get your first 2 years out of the way at the community college. That will save you a lot of money. Was that your approach, or was it just you wanted to get a sample before you went on?
I would say I definitely wanted to get a sample. I loved how more affordable it was than the other schools I got into or applied to. I definitely wasn't ready to like move home and go to college. I had no idea why I wanted to study. So when I went to Lincoln Land, I took what I wanted to do, and then I started working for The Lamp, which I don't think is really a thing anymore at Lincoln Land, the student newspaper, and I just loved it. I never worked on like yearbook or the newspaper at SHS where I went to high school, but I just really loved reporting, interacting with people. Like, I'm such a people person, so that's really where I thrive, writing long-form interviews, profiling, and just going to sports games and writing a little story on a homecoming game. That was like my favorite thing to do.
When you switched to online learning at ASU as a part of your Starbucks benefits, how did you get involved with organizations and things? Like, a student newspaper remotely seems to be a little tricky.
I didn't work at any of the like newspapers just because of like how competitive it was at ASU. But I would just find like local businesses to interview here. I would find really cool, interesting stories that were happening in the world to write for essays for my classes. I would just kind of take as all the resources I could find in Illinois the ASU gave me, compelling stories, essays, and discussion board posts, so I could showcase Springfield and my life in a different way than everyone else was showcasing their life in LA or Germany or wherever.
Was that the Cronkite School?
Yes, the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. One of my professors actually was an interviewer for the PBS station, so he was an adjunct. He was one of the people that cracked down the cartel that was kind of like on the border and did really cool just investigative reporting all around Arizona and surrounding areas. So that was one of my favorite classes. That was actually very hard to get into because it was like one of those 400 level classes, but it was just on like in-depth interviewing, in-depth reporting. So we got to like access like footage that like I don't think everyone could have saw like on PBS, but that we saw to like help us, like body cam footage sort of.
You mentioned, as we were getting ready to sit down, podcasting. You've done some stuff in that. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I help with my cousin's podcast a little bit. It's a Chicago-based podcast. It's called, I say both either Mally Way or Mealy Way, whatever you want to pronounce it when you read it. It's a podcast based in Chicago area, and it's just about mental health and sports and kind of breaking the stigma, especially on men's mental health and children too. They have a lot of interviews now with children psychologists and people who are studying that because they have four kids. There's two sides to the podcast. There's the big mental health side. And then every Thursday, I believe, and Sundays, they release an I Love You But, where it's my cousin Katie and then my cousin Jim, who's my cousin-in-law, started it. He's the main person who starts it. So it's just them sitting down, talking about their grievances, airing out like things that happened during the week. So they say, I love you, but you chew too loud when you're speaking to the kids. Close your mouth. It's just funny little things. And that, unfortunately, doesn't get as much coverage. So I try to, whenever I can, put it on my social media, put it on my Instagram story, put the link to their YouTube or their podcast link, whatever they have that week, so my friends can see it, so I can talk about it, and everyone can just listen, and they can get more views. And they actually have, I think, 2,000 followers now on Instagram. So I'm like, oh, maybe I helped in a way, posting on my Instagram. And I think his access to studios and spaces in Chicago really helps him get more guests and just meeting people, even on social media nowadays. That's how you find a guest. So I saw that the Jeremy Allen White lookalike from The Bear, the show on Hulu, followed me on Instagram. And I was just like, wait, we have a mutual. So maybe that's why he followed me. And it was my cousin's podcast. And I connected them. And he went on the podcast. And they met downtown in a studio and talked. And it was a great interview. And he happened to also be a therapist for people in the Chicago area. So I was like, that's a perfect connection that you can just make through social media. And I'm not used to that. Through Linkland, we didn't really do as much of that I tried to promote that, and the people that when I was there really tried to promote that. Even back then, I think I graduated Linkland in 2020, it just wasn't as big. I feel the podcast on Instagram and all that and TikTok really had to come up then. It's really cool to learn new things, because at ASU I couldn't get into any of the podcast classes because they were so small, only 10 people. I definitely learned a lot just on my own and the resources provided for me.
It's a lot different than it used to be when I started out, being able to express yourself or get on the air and do broadcasting. That was a really limited field that there were a lot of gatekeepers in. You had to struggle to get a break. It seems like with podcasting now, that's not the same thing. We find there are a lot of people who might be good for the radio station who take jobs doing a podcast instead.
And yep.
For your generation, as you're coming into the career field, it seems like podcasts are essential to know how to do, because almost everybody wants one or needs one.
And everyone's releasing one. The latest celebrity is all going to have a podcast influencer. And I think a good podcast has all different types of angles, the short form. So they can just post on TikTok a short video, and then they can watch the 15-minute podcast. Or they have my cousin has the long form interviews with a psychologist talking about how she's studying to be helped. Children's psychology and how to make that better through COVID eras, and how the technology through a screen is not the same for kids nowadays because of COVID and their learning. So I feel you just got to find your niche, especially if you want to work in podcasts, because there's so many. Once you find your niche, hopefully that will translate well and you'll get more guests and more connections like I happen to have with my cousins, and just kind of luck. And I joke, I do this all for free, pay me, because it's just so fun for me. It's a good way to definitely just meet people. And that's who I how I am. I'm such a people person. I'm sometimes even just a people pleaser. So that kind of helps my favor to find guests for them, and also just find people for my own journalism aspirations. Right now with my life coach, I'm working on a blog where I can showcase my portfolio, and then also stories like my cousin's podcast and other fun stories I write about local business in Springfield, Illinois.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're getting to know a neighbor, Tess Peterson from Springfield. She's talked about her history in studying at Lincolnland Community College and Arizona State University, which was a nice perk of being an employee of Starbucks at the time. I didn't realize they had that college perk. When you are looking, Tess, at what's next, and maybe as we were talking about podcasting there, anybody thinks they can sit down and do a podcast.
Exactly.
But what's the difference between a successful podcast, or what skills would you bring to somebody who wanted to do a podcast that would help them cut through?
Finding your niche, finding your people in a group. I think even starting small. Say you set a goal for yourself. I want to have 200 listeners in 3 months. So whether that's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or on everything, set small goals for yourself. And then eventually your long-term goals will come true. and you'll find your niche, you'll find your people, you'll find someone that, like, a really great guest, maybe a really popular guest. Like, after you met your goal of 200 viewers or listeners a month, you have, like, a really cool, like, influencer person in Springfield who's really, like, a popular maybe mom blogger or, like, food blogger. And then maybe you get, like, 2,000 followers one day. You just got to find what you want to do and be set on that and be genuine and true to your podcast and yourself. And I think you'll go very far, yeah.
If you wanted to just do it, and it's less wanting to be successful and have lots of followers, but you want to get some experience, just the idea of even doing a family podcast,
yeah,
that's just for, you know, the 20, 30 people in your family,
exactly,
it can get you some good experience.
And exactly, and that's what I love about that podcast, because my family does live in Chicago. I don't see them all the time with their busy schedules, and with my busy schedule sometimes. I think I have a lot less busier schedule because they have 4 kids and I'm single, but it's just a great way to find your people and just listen to that and be with my family. Like, when I'm listening to the I Love You But podcast, I just feel like I'm sitting in their basement, chilling after dinner and just having a good conversation with my family. Yeah.
As you're here in Springfield, what do you see going on that people should know about from your perspective?
Downtown. I think downtown is really having a come up. There's so many great cafes downtown. Like, I think of Custom Cup. I think of the new, like, wine bars and bakeries. I think of that new, like, logo we have, the Heart of Downtown. Is that what it's called?
My Heart's Downtown.
My Heart's Downtown, yes. And there's so many people I know, like, from high school who are putting that together. So that's really inspiring to me. I think people should want to go downtown more and want to give their money and their heart to the business and support. Yeah.
At the very least, you can go get a selfie now on the Old State Capitol,
yes,
with the heart logo. There's like a 5-foot heart that's out there you can get a picture with.
Yeah, and I love the QR code too. So you can go to the website and you can see all the businesses and just have fun with your friends. Yeah, great night out.
What do you hope to do next?
I hope to become like independent journalist, or just find like a really great network to work for or publication. And after that, I'm not really sure. Like, that's kind of my first steps. And just, yeah, I might go back to school to get my master's. I've been thinking about that. I would say those are probably my next steps.
We've been talking with Tess Peterson, a recent graduate who is looking at media and has been working in things like podcasting. We're happy to bring her through the NPR Illinois studios and show her around here. Anything else you'd like to put out there? If you had to give some advice to somebody, what would you tell them?
I would say just be genuine and true to yourself, and especially your writing. If it's something you're really passionate about, like, showcase that. Whether that be like your writing or your creating, you should really just be yourself. And I think other people that are similar to you or who like believe in you will see that and you'll go far.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your family or personal life? How are you?
I am a big biker. That's one of my things that I really love to do, especially where I live, the Sangamon Valley Trail. That's like the area I live. And it's getting a little nicer. So I've been going biking a little bit more. But I would say that's a big thing I love to do. I love to do water ski in the summertime. Boating's a big thing on my family. So I love water skiing, tubing. Another big hobby I have is just like go bar hopping or cafe hopping downtown. That's probably one of my joys in life I really look forward to. Other than that, I just love to hang out with my dog and my family and go on long walks. And
what's your dog's name?
Wrigley. We're big Cubs fans.
There we go. Talking about the cycling, I'm really excited. It's probably going to take a couple more years yet, but the 3rd Street Rail relocation.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard about that.
Is going to create a corridor through downtown where the rail used to be. And they've had proposals on it so far where they can show what the vision is. The funding's not quite there yet, and the rail hasn't moved yet, so they can't start it. But they're really close to the rail moving over. Once that happens, there should be some quick development, especially in the core of it downtown. But it will run all the way up to the fairgrounds and all the way down to Wabash, so that'll be another sector of biking in town.
That sounds really exciting. I definitely will get my bike out there.
Do you go skiing and stuff? Is that in Lake Springfield? Or?
Yes. I learned how to ski in Wisconsin, where I grew up. Like, that's where I was born. But I would say I perfected like how to even maybe Salem ski. I'm trying to get good at that with just one ski here in Springfield. I love it. I love teaching my friends how to ski, family members, young family members. Definitely Lake Springfield is a big place now for me to ski.
No barefoot skiing like the Wisconsin Dells?
I have not tried that. I've seen my cousins and family members do that. I'm not there yet, but maybe one day, maybe when I'm older.
That one's pretty tough.
Yeah.
One last question, Tess. You said you grew up in Wisconsin. How did you get to Springfield?
My mom is a professor at UIS. She's an economist and professor for econ. So that's why we moved here when I was, I think, elementary school is when we established kind of living here. And my dad, he has a job in sales and pharmaceutical sales, so he could pretty much work everywhere. So we wanted to move for like that kind of just a nice, I think, quiet town. It was very similar to where I grew up in Milwaukee, Whitefish Bay was the name of the neighborhood, which I always tell everyone it looks so much like where I live. It's like kind of Springfield, but just in Wisconsin. Yeah, that's the reason why I moved to Springfield. And I definitely have grown to appreciate Springfield more in my, like, as I get older, but it definitely has changed, and I think a way for the better since I've lived here.
Another win for UIS in bringing some people to town.
Yeah.
That's great. Tess Peterson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
What does the Community Voices process look like? Well, it starts with trying to identify a good neighbor to talk to or an event that may be interesting that for some folks it may be hard to get to. First, we get that on the radar, figure out when that is going to happen if there is a date involved with it. But more than anything, we depend on you to suggest a guest. By emailing communityvoices@mprillinois.org, we then go into a process of getting in contact with that person, figuring out if there's enough there, which there usually is, to talk about to help us get to know a little bit more about them or what they're working on or an event that's coming up. We have them come into the studios here at NPR Illinois and do an interview. That interview then gets edited and scheduled to air. It eventually comes on the air and then also gets posted at mprillinois.org, where we share it on social media and encourage our guests and you to do so too. If you missed a past Community Voices, go to mprillinois.org right now. And thanks for being part of Community Voices.